My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
All right, it's the Hoffman Show, hour number two. We're live at Capital One Arena on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, and streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. And although he's sitting right here, and if you're watching on the YouTube stream, you can see Kareem Copeland. It's still 5 o'clock. It's still not my beat, and we refuse to not give this man a proper introduction. Anthony?
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not my beat.
That's right. We're here from someone who's there. We're both here, Kareem, but it's your beat. It's
your beat. But I'm here a lot.
You are here a lot. Eric/at ESA/ wherever the Mystics are. Tonight, Mystics Fever, final game of the WNBA regular season. Washington wins and gets help. They are in. They're going to need a lot of help and to come from some unlikely places. Obviously, on the Fever side of it, Caitlin Clark looking to finalize all of the records that she's broken. Someone should do a record counter. How many has she broken?
I can't keep up. I have to look up every time. I have to Google is my friend because every time it's always something almost every single night. So
yeah, I mean, she's just extending all of her other. I mean, she's got the assist record. W assist record? For everybody, yeah. Or just for rookies?
W assist record, rookie points record. I know she's got some kind of threes record. I'm not sure which one it is. Like I said, I got to have a printout.
She's definitely got like any rookie record that exists. That exists. it's nuts how many she's got. All the rookie assist records, she might wind up. I mean, if she doesn't get the W assist record this year, she'll get it. Maybe as soon as next year. She's got to cut her turnovers and produce at the rate she was in the second half of the season. She probably gets that. Double-doubles, you know, in terms of points assists, it's been wild. But we'll circle back to her and some of the other league news in a second. For the Mystics, realistically, this is incredibly unlikely. they started the season, 0-12? And now they're on the verge of the playoffs. But, Kareem, my question would be, like, because they have their pick and Atlanta's pick, and whichever one doesn't make the playoffs will be the fourth lottery odds, unless all the weirdest stuff happens and Chicago winds up making it and both Atlanta and Washington mix, is there any outcome tonight that is better for Washington? Like, how much is that playoff experience worth versus not having it and having it be their pick in the lottery?
At this point, I mean, it doesn't really matter too much because either way, say, all of the chips fall in line and the Mystics make it, that just means Atlanta's the number four and they get that get that percentage for the draft for the lottery. Or if they don't make it, they're going to be and get those same chances. So it really doesn't matter either way. So, silver lining. you'll get some of these young players that are going to be here. You know, maybe Aaliyah Edwards is ready to go by then. You know, she started running around a little bit yesterday on that ankle, but she's still out tonight. You look down the line, you know, this is what I think the second youngest team in the league. So getting them a little playoff experience and just that feeling, you know, you can't substitute for experience, right? So that comes in helpful. But either way, you're only going to get the one outside of a miracle happening. You're only going to have the one lottery pick, and it's going to be the fourth best odds anyway. So you're kind of sitting in the same spot.
So with those lottery odds, it's going to be the fourth best odds the way the lottery is currently constructed. But we heard yesterday, new announcement, Portland's coming in a couple of years. That's actually 2026. But we know that Golden State is coming, the Valkyrie, next year. So there will be expansion. What do we know at this point about both the expansion draft and how Golden State's inclusion in 2025 will affect the regular draft? Since if you're a Mystics fan, like, you've had your eyes on this and the Paige Becker sweepstakes, and there's a couple other really good players in this draft as well. Like, could Golden State mess all that up?
Well, what I've heard so far, they've yet to make an official announcement of how all that stuff will go. But talk around the league and talking to GMs, it sounds like each team is going to be able to hold six in the expansion draft. And then the thought is that they will slot in right after the lottery. So they would have the number five pick. And so it's kind of an interesting situation. Not just this year, I think for the following draft is going to be really crazy, because, you know, everybody's trying to figure out who they're going to protect in expansion draft, right? Well, going during the 2026 offseason, going into that season, nobody signed. There's only two players, anyone who's not on a rookie contract, there's only two players in the league that are signed beyond 2025.
So, just because the way the CBA has been and the contracts have been shortened?
Everybody's expecting the players to opt out of the CBA after this season, because they just signed the new media deal. And so what you want is a new CBA, so all this new $2.2 billion can get
infused. So players knew that. They timed their contracts.
Everybody timed their contracts.
Like, I would like to be a free agent when there's an influx of money.
Boom. Exactly. That's
good agenting. That's good mathing. That's good playering.
Everyone. Even throughout this year, people have been signing extensions for 1 year. Nobody signed a long-term extension because everybody wants a piece of the new pie. However, the new talk is what's going to happen expansion draft-wise, because if everybody is a free agent, you're not really protecting those people. So what kind of – they're going to have to come up with some kind of stipulation or some kind of rule to address that. But also on the flip side, which is probably a bonus for those teams – there's going to be every name in the league is going to be available in free agency. And if you're Portland or Toronto, you can and you can sell.
You're going to have unlimited cap space.
Unlimited cap space, and come on here, and you are instantly the face of our franchise, of this brand new franchise.
And you can probably bring a friend.
We've
seen that in the NBA of like, hey, let's unload everything. Let's wait for this particular summer and bring you and your best friend. And you got the buddy system, and that's how you get both championships in Miami and dumpster fires in Brooklyn. So sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Absolutely. And so everybody's trying to figure out. That's why 2026 is – I keep talking about it. I keep banging it over and over and over, because that's going to be a year in this league unlike any other, and maybe unlike any other amongst the four major sports in this country. I don't know if there's ever been a time where you've had 80% of the league all as free agents, including every single veteran, including every single MVP, including every single all-star that's not on a rookie contract. That's crazy. That's why everybody's gearing up. That's why the Mystics are in the spot where they are, because their goal is to get young players, get picks, and have all kinds of flexibility going into the 2026 offseason, going into 2026, and be able to make a major push of somebody. You know,
right.
Everybody's going to be available. It's hard to say which one, but they'll have their pick to be able to make a push for.
Kareem Copeland, Washington Post, with us here on the Hoffman Show, live at Capital One Arena, talking hoops, talking WNBA as the Mystics finish their season tonight. You can hear the game against the Fever here on the Team 980. Wow, that is wild. Do you think that there's anybody that will buck the trend? Will there be a player that's like, I'm good? Like, I don't know, Asia Wilson's got a huge Nike deal, right? Mm-hmm. Is she like, I'm happy in Vegas. I can lock myself in now, and I can be an anchor that maybe can recruit other players. You know, is $100,000 extra a year in W money worth it to me versus the stability of signing a four-year deal, max deal under the current contract, knowing that my star is going to continue to shine? I'm going to make so much more than that from Nike and other endorsements. And that's kind of the weird, you know, thing with this league, too. And this comes into, like, the NIL discussions and whatever, is these players, the stars in this league and in this sport, are making so much more off the floor that the on-the-floor money at that level, at the Asia Wilson level, at the Caitlin Clark level, are, and especially for Caitlin right now, a rookie deal, but even her next deal, it's real money. We'd take it.
Yep.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars. we'd take it. But it percentage-wise, compared to their off-court earnings, it's not nearly as big compared to where, like, yeah, LeBron's making crazy money from Nike, but he's also making $60 million a year from the Lakers. How does that impact this discussion, or is the money that's coming in the new TV deal significant enough that the whole dynamic of the sport changes in that way?
I think it's going to be a significant financial increase for everything, cap, salaries, all of that stuff. But I actually look at it from maybe the opposite direction. If you're a star, even if you've got, you know, all your Nike money and all of that kind of stuff, you still want a piece of this bigger pie, and you're a star, so you can go wherever you want. Asia Wilson can go wherever she wants. If she wants to stay in Vegas, Vegas is going to open their arms in 2026. If you're Breanna Stewart, the Liberty are still going to open their arms in 2026. I think about maybe the players a tier below. Now, maybe this is your opportunity to stick with a squad for 4 years if that's where you want to be and not have to deal or worry about the chaos of 2026. But that's also, if you're a tier below, you probably don't have all of the Asia outside money. So you probably want, that new money is probably going to be significant for you.
Well, as we've seen in the NBA, like, every franchise wants a max player. There aren't enough players in the league that deserve max contracts based off merit. Like, not to say that I'm not here hating on anybody's money, but like, when I will hate on in the building that
I'm like, who's going to be your example?
Sorry, Brad. Bradley Beal does not deserve the same contract as LeBron James. Like,
that's
that is the most obvious statement in the world. Yet, this team here gave him all that money because he was their best player. And that's how that league has gone about it. And I think that's something interesting to watch, is like, who's the Brad Beal, if you will. There's plenty of other stars. I mean, you can make an argument that a guy like Damian Lillard, right? Mm-hmm. Damian Lillard's an incredible basketball player, a championship caliber player. But building around him in Portland the way they tried to, like, it was only so fruitful. So there's plenty of great players that are not Asia Wilson, Stewie. Like, the bar to be the best player on a championship team is so high. And so when all of a sudden the whole league is available, like,
I mean,
that's
look at the Aces.
Pretty
the Aces have four starters who could earn that type of money, who could earn max salaries. Like, Kelsey Plum, Jackie Young. They could, if Toronto says, hey, we want you to be the cornerstone of our franchise for one of those two, that's a decision to make. Those are all-stars. Those are Olympians especially you've got a couple rings already. You know, you've had a good run with Vegas, but maybe you want an opportunity to do your own thing, to have a team built
we play
around
in the
you.
Summer. So in Toronto, it's not even cold.
Oh, my gosh. I just told somebody that today. I covered probably, 2 years ago, I covered Wizards at Toronto in December or January.
No amount of money that they could have paid you, but
was not fun.
It's gonna be a higher number than what it takes to go to Toronto, a phenomenal summer city.
Great city, not when it's snowing and about 2 degrees outside.
Yeah. So where does that then leave the Mystics in all of this? Because they are the youngest team in the league. They have a number of picks the next couple of years. They made a trade at the deadline for Maisha Hanedalen to acquire yet another pick. They've got two this year, so they'll have some rookie players under contract going into 2026 still on their rookie deals. Where does that leave them in this wild goose chase of an equation?
The way I kind of look at it is, I think Shakir Austin and Ariel Atkins, I don't think either of those two are going anywhere.
Then, so you think that when 2026 rolls around, Mike Tebow, presuming that he's still in charge, will be like, max contract, signature here, please.
I'm not sure what the money exactly will be, just because I don't know what the new financial structures will be, but I think they'll go out of their way to keep those two for sure. Then you've got your rookies, like you'll have Aliyah Edwards, you'll have whoever the two rookies within the top, I guess it'll be top six, assuming that Golden State will slot in at number five. So you'll have two top six players this year in what's expected to be a pretty good draft. Next year is supposed to be a pretty good draft also, so you'll have one there, depending where they have. So you'll have a young core, and then I think that's when you go after one or two veterans and say, hey, we can be contenders. Look at this young core that we have. That's attractive, and now we plug you in, an all-star or two, you know, depending on how they work it and who they can convince. And, it's almost like college now. It's an arms race around the league because you've got a hard salary cap. So there's really you can't differentiate yourself with, like, a luxury tax move. So now everybody's building facilities, practice facilities. It's all about facilities now, just like college football used to be before NIL, because everybody's working with the same amount of money. So that's how you can distinguish yourself. And so that's the arms race in the next couple of years. But I think that's the way they envision it, is probably Shakira and Ariel are your two quote-unquote vets. Probably three to four players that are in their first or second years, and here let's bring in a couple big dogs and see if we can be back in contention again. I think that's the idea in their heads. At least.
And obviously Aaliyah will be in year three by then. So we'll see how her career continues to come along. Last topic then. I'm glad you said the facilities thing, because that is a huge thing that is starting to be a big deal. It was a huge part of the Portland announcement that they're going to be building their own space, and a lot of teams are doing that. The Mystics obviously are currently sharing with the Wizards. The plan is for the Wizards to get their own, and the Mystics to kind of be able to take over. At least that's the last plan I heard.
Those plans keep changing.
They certainly do. The other part of it, though, is the infrastructure of the franchise. And this brings us to the other team that's here tonight in Indiana. Because I was at the two Fever Aces games last week, and I have seen Christy Sides coach in person, and I've watched them on television, and I think she deserves a lot of credit for a lot of the turnaround they've had this year. I also watch her on the sideline, and I'm like, I don't know that that's the best coach for Caitlin Clark. I don't know that Christy is helping in the Caitlin Don't Get Technicals Committee, whatever they're calling that. Coaching, you know, I think there's a lot of rumblings coming out of Chicago right now of is T. Spoon a WNBA legend who deserves a lot of respect for what she's done in the league, but is she the right coach for Angel Reese and that young group that they've got in Chicago? How much are organizations and GMs talking about what they're doing, not only to make sure they have great coaches that are well respected, but also maybe even flushing out coaching staffs or adding resources in ways beyond facilities to make themselves more palatable as a free agent destination as the whole league is about to reorganize, like you've described, 2 years from now?
I think it's all those little things, you know, from coaches. I think you're seeing more coaches. I think you're seeing more training staff, more better training staff, having more options, like having more masseuses around, and all of the, like, little things of rest and recovery and that stuff. I think those are the things that people are trying to differentiate in. But I think it's absolutely a thing that you want to line up your front office / sidelines to be attractive in 2026. Everything's about being attractive in 2026. And so I think there will be a lot of teams who look at their bench and trying to decide, hey, is this the person to lead us for the next 3 to 4 years, and who somebody will be excited to play for? Because these are the only ways that you can't differentiate with dollars. So you got to differentiate with all the other stuff. And so I think there's definitely going to be some self-scouting of the people in your organization and how you have your organization set up and who's the voice of your organization, because you want to make sure that, quite frankly, other players are going to be like, yeah, I want to play for that guy, or not have heard. That's another thing, you know, players talk. Players talk.
If they're all available, like, I don't know what, like, Clark's situation is contractually. She'd probably still have one more year on her
rookie. Yeah, she'll still be under
contract. So, like, it's not like she can be like, actually, I want out. I guess she could force a trade, but, you're going to want to know if you're going to play in Indiana, like, is she going to be there long term? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if you're in let's say Becky gets an NBA job. I don't know that Becky's looking to run to the NBA, but let's say she does. Whoever gets replaced in Vegas, like, is Asia going to want to resign there based off who that person is? So you have to, you know, keep your own before even thinking about someone else. And by the way, in Indiana, they've already made some front office changes, right? Like their GM or someone, their team president, someone stepping down.
Yeah, they just tweaked
retiring.
Something. Yes.
There's already some changes around Clark, and obviously that's going to be the most fascinating situation in the league to watch because, mm-hmm. well, Caitlin's Caitlin. You have to go talk to Caitlin.
Yep.
She has a press conference.
Eight minutes.
Yeah, seven and a half minutes. Yes. So we're going to let you go do that. We'll keep an ear to that and see if there's anything interesting that comes out of Caitlin Clark's final regular season pregame press conference. I saw that Katie Lou Samuelson tackled her this morning in practice. So
I looked up and I'm like, what are they doing? They're wrestling over there. And I couldn't get my phone out fast enough.
Someone did.
Oh, that was me.
Oh, you did get it eventually.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I got it.
I saw a video somewhere of them practicing the de-escalation committee.
Yep,
that was me. We'll see tonight, and also I'm going to put it on you to thank Caitlin on behalf of DC for not picking up a technical in the last game, so she didn't get suspended tonight. That was pretty
funny.
She even
mentioned that.
She did post game. She was like, "Yeah, you know, you're welcome to the fans in DC." I'm really happy that the fans that are going to DC will get to see me because, she's gotten her fair share this year. She really Draymond it, got right up to the line.
Yeah,
and then. We're all good. All right. Kareem Copeland, read his work, WashingtonPost.com/sports, or when they throw that newspaper at your door. He's going to go talk to Caitlin Clark and downstairs in the press room. When we get back, I'm going to do Never Read the Comments, and boy, will that be fun.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.